Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
The Bird Show.
I have the official power rankings of alcoholic drinks for parents.
Official.
Official power rankings. Let me tell you, when I saw this video from comedian Dustin Nickerson, I felt it in my soul. I'm like, this man nailed it. All right. So again, the power rankings of alcoholic drinks for parents. I think this is more specifically for parents of younger kids. So Cassie, you will feel this in your soul. Kaylee, I know you will feel this. Bert, go back a couple of years, and I think you will agree with everything Dustin has to say.
Our rankings of the alcoholic drinks for parents is the cocktail at the airport on a trip without them. Oh, we're gone, and they're not. The theme park beer, $30. Worth every sip. Whatever it is that you put in that coffee tumbler while you're trick-or-treating.
Yep.
My treat's right here, and your Reese's later tonight, too. Coffee and Bailey's on Christmas morning. Of course, the they're asleep glass of wine. Are they actually asleep? It doesn't matter.
But all of them, I'm like, oh, yes. Like that first beverage Christmas morning, alcoholic beverage, whether it's like the Bailey's and coffee or it's the mimosa, because you know you were staying up late the night before. It's something about like when it touches the lips, it's just so much sweeter, so much better. Like the tumbler of wine that we had going around trick-or-treating, it just tastes so much grapier. I don't know. It's just the best.
They missed one. And yeah. I would say that is the glass of wine when they won't stop screaming and you've given up.
Mm. Yes.
That is the sweetest one of all.
Yep. I think you guys might have broken me of what would have been in my top three last weekend. Bourbon.
Oh, because you had so much when you were in Kentucky.
Oh, my God. I figured, you know what? I got to honor the state.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes
so
sense.
We're in Kentucky, and I started early. Tailgating with bourbon. That's smart. And by the end of the day, I think I even said at dinner, I'm like, I think I've just lost my taste for bourbon. All right, another ranking.
Yes.
We got a college football bet that we need to focus on.
Let the storm when I feel that.
These are getting better and better every week. Yeah, we play that because the loser in our college football bet is going to have to sing the national anthem somewhere publicly at a Little League game, football game. We're not exactly sure yet. So, Mo, again, you came up with these rules. What are the rules of engagement this year?
The rules of this is we all chose a college football team that we believe will have the most amount of losses at the end of the year. Not wins like you normally would do it. We tried to spice it up, and it all started with Abby choosing Florida State, and we thought she was out of her mind, and now we are all in the fight of our life because Abby seems to know a lot more about this than us.
Abby, you're a Florida State Seminoles. What's their current record?
Oh, 1-7.
Wow.
That is not possible.
Wow.
I don't understand it.
I believe the exact words used when I picked Florida State was, what a gift, and truly the best gift for me this year.
All right, Katie, let's go back and relive when Abby chose Florida State. Oh, we don't have it. Okay, never mind.
All right, so Florida State now is 1-7. One win, seven losses.
This
one
season is amazing. Later.
Man.
It is.
All right, so I chose New Mexico. The Lobos are 3-5. They were only supposed to be, at least Vegas said, they were only supposed to win like two games this year. So they're already over the top. And what I hate about this is they're playing Wyoming tomorrow, and Wyoming is traditionally not a bad school. 1-7. So one in seven.
What is happening with college football this year, man?
But you're likely to get a W tomorrow.
I am likely to get a W tomorrow.
Uh-huh. By getting a W by getting an L? Like yes. Technically, right?
Right. Okay. So, Kristen?
Y'all, I'm just over here, just sitting pretty, got my feet up. My Kent State, I don't know what their mascot is. We are 0-8. And we play at home versus Ohio, who is 5-3. So I'm thinking we're going to pull another L, and then I'll just be coming in here on Monday, 0-9.
They are the
Kent State
Flash, the Golden Eagle.
The what?
Flash, the Golden Eagle
is the mascot.
Okay, so the Golden Eagles.
Okay,
the Golden Eagle. That are the Kent State Golden Eagles.
And Mo.
Yeah. I got East Carolina, who won two games last year, so I thought I was safe. I was anything but safe. They are currently sitting at 500 at 4-4, and they have a game Thursday against FAU, who is currently 2-5. So I feel like it's possible we'll take that L. I hope we do. And in the meantime, I'm really rooting for the New Mexico Burks team to get a W so we can be tied back up.
You know, I looked at New Mexico's schedule, which I would have never done in the past because, you know, New Mexico.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And they play the school that I went to, San Diego State, in a couple of weeks.
Oh,
oh no.
Oh, wow.
It's the Burks Show.
The Burks Show.
I've never quite understood the logic of a city celebrating by looting and overturning cars and buses when their team wins a championship.
Me.
You guys see what's going on in L.A.?
Oh, after the Dodgers won the World Series?
Dodgers win the World Series, so you know what? You know, it's a great way to celebrate. Ruin our city.
Yeah.
What?
Kentucky did that after a couple national championships.
I don't understand the mentality here. Like, you're so fired up that you're going to ruin the city, the home city of the team that just won a championship.
I don't get it.
I never understood why we won a national championship. Let's light a couch on fire. I don't get it.
Now, I can understand New Yorkers being pissed and jacking up their own city with the Yankees losing.
Which would make sense, but our city already jacked up. So, I mean, ain't much we can do.
Trash it. Oh, wait. It's already trashed.
Trash everywhere.
Dude in L.A. blew his hand off with a firework. Yeah, while he was trying to, like, yeah. It's just a mess out there, man.
Makes zero
Hopefully
sense.
It was that guy that was trying to pull the ball out of that one player's mitt.
He was a Yankee
fan. New Yorker.
Yeah. Oh, my bad.
All right. So, Katie, listener's question to you about code switching.
Yes. So a couple of days ago, I received an interesting DM from a P1 listener, Amanda. And I thought this is something that we should address because we've talked about this briefly, like Mo and I being Black, what it's like code switching in a different scenario where we may not be as comfortable with predominantly Caucasian people. Mm-hmm. Right. And so there's this thing. So she sent me a clip, which is really great. And it's from the What Now podcast with Trevor Noah and Lupita. And in this clip, they are basically addressing what it's like to code switch. So this is the clip that she sent to me.
When I speak English, I'm one kind of Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
But if I speak Zulu with my friends, there's a different kind of Trevor.
Mm.
You know what I mean? What are we not getting from English Lupita that is like hidden in all these other Lupitas?
I have two English Lupitas, right?
Yes, okay.
There's the Kenyan English Lupita, and then there's the American English Lupita. With my Kenyan English Lupita, I'm a lot spicier. I'm provocative, you know? And this might be my family or maybe it's a Kenyan thing. The way my family compliments is to kind of abuse. So they'll be like, oh, okay, so you think that jacket is nice.
Oh, wow.
You know? Like that. And that's the compliment. And so I tried that in school once, and like people were so offended. And I was like, okay, this is a code switching thing, you know? So like that. So I'm a lot spicier, a lot more pokey.
Right.
In the Kenyan version of me. And I use a lot more of those sounds. I mean, you know, Africans, we use a lot of sounds to convey a lot of,
of
things.
Yeah, we definitely do.
So there's a whole lot more of that. In my American, there's the version.
Yeah.
And and then my Mexican self, Mexicans are very polite. Right. And so I think I take on a more polite version of myself. I find I'm a lot more, I'm whinier when I'm in my Mexican mode.
And so after this audio, she basically followed it up with the question that is directed at Mo and I, right? And she said that she listens to The Bird Show every day and the In the Moment podcast as well. And she said that she can tell that there's definitely a difference between how Mo and I speak with each other on that podcast versus how we speak here on the show. And she wanted to know, because her boyfriend does it as well, is it a comfort thing? And the simple answer is yes, there is a comfort thing. I think there was a certain way that we were raised to act and speak in certain environments. And so here on the show, it's like I feel like I have to be a little bit more cautious of how I say things. I have to kind of put it in a more, what is it? What's the term I'm looking for? Like how I used to equate it is like a news anchor type of thing. Whereas with Mo and I could just be like, all right, what up? Like, what are we doing today? How's this podcast going? There is a huge difference in a level of comfort when it comes to code switching.
As a member of the Caucasian persuasion, is there a way for Caucasians to make it more comfortable, or is it just it is what it is?
For me personally, it just took time. I feel like now, 8 years being a part of the show, I've become more comfortable, where I've become more lax in the way that I speak, and I just kind of sit into how Katie really speaks.
What's the root of it? Like being accepted by white people, so you have to speak like white people?
I feel like it's layered, right? Like, because a part of it is definitely comfort level, 1,000%. You just, I think that you can kind of equate it to, for most people, if you're speaking at work compared to if you're speaking at home with your family, it just might be a little different. Mm-hmm. You just might be a little more comfortable. You might be a little more of yourself. So it's similar to that. And the cultures are very, very different. And the majority of black people will stick to black people. White people will stick to white people. And you don't necessarily have that interaction with the other cultures every single day to where you realize, like, okay, there's a lot of difference. And this plagued me for a long time because I've heard be the same person on In the Moment as on The Bird Show for so long. And for years, I kept trying to figure it out myself. Like, I feel like I am. Why am I not? Why can't I? And I've come to realize it's literally impossible. Mm. It's just not, it's never going to happen. Because you have to consider a lot of things. First is the comfort level. You also have to think about being offensive. Like that, whereas in a black person in a black environment, you pretty much know exactly how you are going to offend somebody or how you won't. In a white environment, you're not necessarily sure. And there are a lot of times when white people will say things that a black person finds very offensive. But the difference is most of the white people I've been around, they don't consider it or they just don't care. Whereas with black people, we have been taught our whole lives that we have to be conscious of that, and we have to watch what we're saying and how it's coming off, because we just have different backgrounds, different walks of life. Things that you guys say amongst each other might be normal, whereas to us it may come off like, whoa, what was that? So you don't you don't want to offend and you don't want to be offended, so you kind of
you tread
the line a little differently than if you were in an environment where you know pretty much how everybody would receive everything that you have to say.
Yeah, gotcha. There were two classic examples from when you first started on the show here. I think you're aware of this, but when you first started on the show, you had told us that you just haven't worked with this many white people before. Mm-hmm. So you would come on the radio and you were pretty tight. But there was a while there where I just started bringing Katie in, and at the time, Walter in studio while you were doing a break, and it lightened you up completely just because there was more of a comfort level. And the second thing is, I think it was you here in studio. White people, when they get dressed up when they normally don't, will make the cliche joke to each other, like, what, do you got a court date today?
Perfect example.
Right? Yeah. And I think that happened to, was that you?
Yeah.
Here in studio? Yeah, somebody.
It happened to Katie.
A white person, a white staff member said that to Katie also, as we would say it to each other in a white way. It's very accepted. It's kind of a joke, but it was really mistaken. When Katie heard it.
So like the dynamic, right? That's a perfect example, actually. If a white person says to a white person, right, and they're dressed up and you say, oh, you got a court date today, that's just clearly a joke, right? But because of the dynamics of white and black, if a white person says to a black person, well, you dressed up today, you going to court? We're not going to receive that as a joke. Like, that's going to be received very differently because of the context of the... So that's a great example of how you got to learn the different cultures and what's accepted and what's not. And it once you get comfortable enough around people, I think you just start to become more yourself because they realize you're coming from the place you're coming from.
Right.
The Bird Show.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
The women of the Burt Show felt stronger on this than the dudes did about this co-parenting Halloween costume.
Yeah, it was pushing a lot of buttons. So Jennifer hit us up last week for a texting tutor, and we were texting with her ex-husband because they were doing a group family costume, right? Even though they are no longer married, they're trying to co-parent and co-parent well their young daughter. He has since remarried, and they were going to do a whole costume so they could all go trick-or-treating together, and they were going to do the Flintstones. And he had dictated that he was going to be Fred Flintstone, his new wife was going to be Wilma, and that their daughter would be Pebbles, and that Jennifer could be Betty Rubble. And Jennifer's like, but Betty isn't the mom of Pebbles. This is weird, right? And we had this exchange, and the ex-husband was not seeing it her way. And he was very adamant that his new wife get to be Wilma because that's who he's married to. He was not seeing her perspective. So we just kind of laid the law down, and Jennifer was like, all right, fine then. You'll have two Wilmas on your arm because I'm showing up as Wilma because Wilma is Pebble's mother, and that's who I want to be for our family costume.
And then he said something like, then you'll be going by yourself or something.
I don't remember.
Like that.
Yeah. But then at the end we played it like, she's like, okay, I hear what you're saying. And he just thumbs up it. And then we said, show up as Wilma anyway.
Yeah. Right. At that point, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hey guys. Hey.
Okay. So yesterday was
that doesn't sound good.
I was about to say the tone of that.
It does not. So yesterday was Halloween. You guys went trick or treating. Take it from the top.
All right. Well, I was set up and yeah, I never should have played my cards that I was going to dress up as Wilma.
Why? What happened?
So my ex had custody of our daughter this Halloween. So I went over to his house to go trick or treating. Next year it'll be at my house. But there was no further discussion after our text exchange. So I figured we were as good as we were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my Wilma costume, and with my white dress, rock necklace and red wig, you know, I was feeling good and excited to have a fun night watching my daughter trick or treat as Pebbles. I mean, no nerves because I didn't feel like I had anything to be nervous about. So I showed up to the house, and they live in a cul-de-sac. So the neighborhood party was in full swing. And as I'm walking up, I don't see a Fred Flintstone. I don't see a Betty Rubble. Mm-hmm. I don't see a Pebbles. What I do see is my ex-husband as King Triton, his new wife as Ursula, and my daughter as Ariel.
No.
So they changed costume and didn't even tell me.
Yeah. You did get set up. We should have never tipped our hand that you might do that, right? So he was thinking, oh, I know Jennifer. She's going to show up in this Wilma costume like she said she's going to, so won't she be surprised? Ah, damn.
He's an awful human being, I'll say it. And there's a reason Ariel doesn't like her dad, and he's playing right into that.
She does.
And interesting that his wife is the evil sea witch.
I think that's what it is.
Wow, so you show up, and you're feeling pretty embarrassed. Do you even mention it, or how does the whole night go?
I mean, my daughter saw me and ran up so excited about Halloween and getting lots of candy, so I had a choice to make. Make a scene or be the bigger person for my daughter, mm-hmm. you know? And we were surrounded by people, and I had to dig so deep to not completely lose it. I mean, I gave her a big hug. I gushed over her costume. I walked over to my ex. I gave him a smile and said hello, the same for his wife. And then we went trick-or-treating. And honestly, the longer we trick-or-treated, the harder it was for me to keep it together. But, you know, since she's little, we didn't trick-or-treat for that long. I needed to use the bathroom when we got back to the house. So once I got into the bathroom in their house, I just released the tears I'd been holding in. And I was able to get out of the house somewhat undetected. My daughter was distracted by all her candy, so I just kissed her on the head and hightailed it out of there. But my ex-husband ended up following me out to my car because he could tell I'd been crying.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. What?
What?
I'm getting angrier and angrier listening to this.
Clearly, you startled the hell out of me.
He saw you were crying and followed you out to your car. You dummy. She's crying because of you. And I hope you told his wife that you were glad she was Ursula because she couldn't pull off a Flintstone anyway in a scanty outfit. I'm so angry. He ruined this co-parenting relationship. He didn't even, and the thing is, he picked a costume just to spite her not to be married because it wasn't King Triton and King Triton's wife. It was random Ursula. He's an awful human being. So, I'm so glad you're divorced.
So this is what happens, man, and I have preached this for so many years when it comes to co-parenting. You really got to throw your ego out the window for your kid, you know? And this is a perfect example here of this dude not being capable of doing that. And also having a new wife that doesn't understand the family dynamic also. This is just a symptom. This is going to be rough.
All right, so Jennifer, he follows you out to the car, and then what happened?
Well, he actually apologized profusely.
Too late for that.
He said, he said the moment he saw my face when I arrived, he knew he was completely in the wrong. Mm. And, you know, he did try to place some of the blame on his new wife, but he took accountability for going through with it. And, I mean, his apology seemed sincere, and he promised to be a better co-parent in the future.
Okay.
And that next Halloween, I'm completely in charge of choosing the costumes.
Make them pay, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, there is a sliver of good that came out of this whole thing, that he realized how much of a D-bag he was. And maybe this does help you guys moving forward. So that's a silver lining. Maybe that's what you should go as next year. Silver lining.
Shots have been fired.
Oh, come on.
So here's what you do moving forward. You always take the high road. So next Halloween, I think you choose something that you can all be together. And you seem like you're the better person. And you do you keep it good for your kid. Like, of course, that is the main priority. But every chance you can sabotage them or drive a wedge into their relationship, I want you to do it, Jennifer.
Do not do this.
I just think you guys should dress up as Lord of the Rings next year and make her be Gollum.
The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
Tory Lanez's legal team is speaking out following Megan Thee Stallion admitting that she lied to Gayle King about having an intimate relationship with him. So if you missed this story from years back in 2020, Megan Thee Stallion put out a statement that she had suffered some gunshot wounds. She had to get some surgery to remove the bullets. And then it later came out like 2 weeks later where she said, you know, actually, Tory is the one that shot me in both feet. He was later convicted of that. He's currently serving time, I think about 10 years. And she did this interview with Gayle King where Gayle had asked Megan if they'd had an intimate relationship. And this is what she said.
Did you have an intimate relationship with him?
Like sexual?
Yeah. Megan, did you have a sexual relationship with Tory Lanez? Yes, that's my question.
I didn't have a sexual relationship with Tory.
So then in a documentary that Megan recently put out, she actually admitted to lying to Gayle King in that moment.
Yes, I lied to Gayle King. You probably know that you're going to ask me about this. I just want to talk about the shooting. Why did you ask me about Tory? That's not what this is about. Even if I was, I like once, maybe twice on a drunk night. Yep, catching me out of my mind.
So basically,
it's hard to take her seriously when she speaks like that.
Yeah. We had to take out a lot of swear. We had to take a lot of swear words out. She doesn't have a stuttering problem, but she basically felt like this is an irrelevant question for Gayle King to ask me. Why this is about the shooting? Why are you asking me about whether or not we've slept together? We did once or twice, but why are you asking me about it? So she lied to Gayle King in the moment.
Yeah. So that question's now hitting me differently for some reason than it did when we initially. One, I can't believe that happened back in 2020 because that doesn't seem like it was that long ago. But that question, it's like, So what if she did have a relationship with him? Like, so what if she did sleep with him? That doesn't excuse, shooting at somebody.
Yeah, it's a rude question. And if she was better prepared for it, it was probably shocking for her. She could have said that that's totally, that's off limits. It's off limits. It's a rude question.
Yeah.
She could have said that. And I think that's what she should have said. But playing devil's advocate, Tory Lanez's lawyers and his team were trying to create an angle that maybe she was lying about the shooting because everybody is just assuming that he did shoot her. I don't know. We don't know. But that's what the lawyers were trying to say, that if she did have a sexual relationship with Tory, then it changes the dynamic of what their relationship actually was. And maybe there was emotional lies tied to the entire case. So her lying in that moment, that's what people were trying to pinpoint and saying that could make a difference for Tory's side of defense.
So, and also an important piece of information that complicates this even more is that when she was asked about whether or not they had a sexual relationship under oath, like during the actual trial, she didn't lie. She did say that they had a sexual relationship. So it is just kind of like a weird caveat that she lied to Gayle King. But basically what Tory Lanez's legal team is saying is that the fact that Megan lied about her sexual relationship with Tory obviously makes her an unreliable witness. If someone lies in front of millions of people, how can you trust what they say at any other time? They say that they're going to appeal the sentence and that the appeal also will include other previous false statements made by Megan, basically trying to get him out of prison.
That seems like a pretty weak argument.
Yeah, one lie does not mean everything that comes out of your mouth is a lie. No, I completely agree. But I mean, they're doing their jobs. Like, if you see any kind of leaks or cracks in the boat for somebody that basically got, I mean, it's not Megan's fault that he's in prison. If he shot her, then he should be in prison. But if you see any chance to get your client out of prison, like, you're going to take it. So I don't think we should be surprised that this is happening at all. All right, Justin Bieber apparently has a pretty big bill for some unpaid property taxes, and it allegedly has to do with his former business managers. So reports are coming out that his former business managers did not are squandering his fortune and basically didn't pay some property taxes on a nearly $17 million home in Coachella. So obviously they've been fired, but now reports are coming out that they're that he is actually going to sue them, because how are you going to mishandle his $300 million fortune and leave him with a bill of that amount? I mean, $300, $400 million that just wasn't paid is insane.
Yeah, on a much, much, much smaller scale. I think that when you are an artist like that and you're creative and you put your trust into a business manager, you're not checking the books all the time. It's smart to do, that's for sure. I could tell you this, like I said, on a much smaller scale, Amy, who is one of my best friends and I trust her, I'm not checking the balances of what she's spending money on all the time. So if I woke up tomorrow and I only had $100 in the bank, I honestly wouldn't know. I'm wondering if that's what happened with Justin.
Well, it's insane that he has to fall on the sword for this. But at the end of the day, like, he wasn't handling his finances. And you hire people that you trust so that you can trust them. So it really sucks. And it just shows what kind of greed is out there, too. Because if you're handling Justin Bieber's money, you know you're taking home a pretty penny. You don't need to take $400,000 from him. For more stories, head to The Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts. I know it's a cliche, but it's the truth, man. Amber has come in here before. She has a YouTube channel called Paranormal Blacktivity. She's one of our producers on the show. And she went over to my house and brought out all of her equipment and EVPs and told me straight up, look, she told me what I already knew. And I think if you do have spirits in your house, you kind of already know it. You can hear things moving. I've told you guys before, my dog all of a sudden gets super startled over nothing, which can make some sense because she's kind of a skittish anyway, but it happens a lot. And there are things that I hear in that house where I'm like, something's going on here. And it doesn't bother me. Never has bothered me. I've lived in other homes before where there are spirits, and it's not like the movies where a knife is being thrown at you out of nowhere, right? So Amber came and she played for us the very first clip that she found, but then she circled back and said, oh, I just completed the video, and there's a lot more sounds that you don't even know about.
Oh, my goodness. Bert, I do think that you're safe, though, I think so far. But you remember when I came in last time, we talked about, I asked the spirits, how do they feel about the renovation of Bert's home? And they had a response for that. How do you feel about the renovations he's done to this home?
What'd they say?
Pissed. Not too happy with that, all right?
Same thing my friend Joel told me.
That's true. Joel and the spirits have a lot in common.
So just to make sense out of that, I've told you guys before, I have this house and it's like, it was built in 1962. It doesn't fit me, so I'm like modernizing the whole thing. So it would make some sense if there's been a spirit in there for a couple of decades. It's like, what the hell is this? I'm kind of pissed, man.
Now, here's the thing. I actually have three more clips that I want to share with you guys from part three. I just released that video yesterday. This is insane. So the first one is coming from the spirit box. And this is the one where I kind of need your help, Bert, because I don't know what your dad's voice sounds like, but I think that I may have gotten it.
Is Fred here? Fred, are you here?
Here.
Well, it's weird that anybody's there saying here, but it's funny because sometimes when I listen back to the show, sometimes I hear my dad's voice in my voice. Mm-hmm. So it was very much like this.
It was, I got to tell you, man, there were no men in the house. One, it was me and the woman who takes care of your dog in your house when you're out of town, mm-hmm. right? So that's a woman. I don't know who that was.
Let's hear that again one more time.
Yeah. Is Fred here? Fred, are you here?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, dude's in my closet right now. I was moving some clothes around the other day, and I'm like, what's this? Oh, it's Fred!
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but there is, like, this, like, graveliness to it. And he dealt with COPD there towards the end,
he
right?
He did, yeah.
And it kind of just, yeah.
Yeah, I can't identify if that would be his voice, yeah. but, I mean, well, he's saying here.
You would know your dad's voice. Yeah. Over anybody.
So the next sound is actually not a part of any apps. There's no spirit box. This is just literally a sound. I asked the spirit to finish this song, and I forget the name of it, but it starts with a knock, 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 knock.
Please
knock.
Do me a favor and finish this tune.
It did not.
I didn't hear it when I was there.
What? Swear to me you're not.
I promise on everything I love. I had nothing to do with that.
Okay, play that again.
Please do me a favor and finish this tune.
So why is there a shift in sound, though?
Because I raised the volume all the way up when I was editing because I couldn't hear it. I heard something and I was like, so in the video, I play it again and then I turn the volume up.
Okay, you.
All right.
So this next one is actually coming from, I believe, a Necrophonic app. And Bert, this is interesting because this one, I think they said one of your son's names.
Can you tell me Bert's son's names? I feel like that just said Hollis.
Was that at the end?
Yeah, the very end. That's Spanish. Now, Mo, you are Spanish, our Spanish person, right?
I'm not a Spanish person.
Our Spanish speaker.
Yo aprendo español. I'm learning Spanish.
Hey, bien. I like that. So what the spirit actually said was bien hijo, which actually translate to good son.
Yeah.
Can you play it again, please?
Can you tell me Bert's son's names? I feel like that just said Hollis.
That is clear as day.
That is super clear.
That's crazy.
You have, like, Spanish-speaking spirits, old spirits, young spirits, male spirits. It's like Dr. Seuss spirits in there.
I got to hear that again because the fact that he mentioned Hollis's name.
And then described who he did son.
And he never spoke any Spanish around me?
Well, I think there's multiple spirits in your home. I don't think that all of them are connected to you, perhaps. I think there might be maybe a portal, because I was getting so many different spirits and sounds and languages. It just didn't make any sense. You must have a portal in your home somewhere.
Who knew the portal to the underworld was in Sandy Springs?
I'm living in the Stranger Things home and had no idea. Play that last clip
one
more
time. Can you tell me Bert's son's names? I feel like that just said Hollis.
Isn't your girlfriend Hispanic? Like, she do you think maybe it's one of her spirits following her in the house?
Maybe.
Because, you know, she has a son.
Yeah.
And maybe he's the being.
And his name is Hollis also. No, it's not. That is strange, man. Again, they don't scare me, but now I'm going to start talking to him. If Fred is actually there, I've joked with him before, but who knew that he would actually be there listening, right?
You can check out part three right now on the Paranormal Blacktivity YouTube channel.
It's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
Cassie and her family don't have a house to live in right now, but they do have a backyard to argue with about.
Yeah, we are living in a trailer or an RV in our house, in our driveway right now, while we do some construction on the house. And the thing with an RV is it's great, but it's not always built for long-term living. And what I mean by this is, if you were to take it to, say, go hiking in the mountains, right, you would have enough space to, like, pack your hiking gear and your hiking clothes and then, like, some things to sleep in. But when you're talking about putting your entire wardrobe for a season in the RV or for your kids, there's no room. There's no room for that. I don't have a closet where there's hanging space where, like, pants or dresses can hang all the way down. It's kind of curtailed. And they've done a really good job at creating this wardrobe space. But as we're moving into the colder seasons, when you have thicker, bulkier clothing, and then add on to top of that, I'm plus size, so my clothes actually do take up more space. I'm running short on space for stuff, and I can fit maybe 5 sweaters in the little closet area I have. So I was at a baby shower that I was throwing with Kristen for a mutual friend of ours, and Kaylee's wife was there, Erin, and she had a brilliant idea. She goes, you know what I would do? I'll get a shed in the backyard and turn that into a closet. And she said that, and I went, you are a genius. Get this woman a Nobel Prize. We have a shed in our backyard. It's falling apart. It's super old, and it has lawn equipment in it. So we've been talking about replacing it anyway. So I need help convincing my husband, Chad, to replace the shed and temporarily let me make it a she shed. So basically a closet with all of my clothes and all of the kids' clothes. His stuff can go in there too. A big mirror, dressing room, lights. So every day, like, I have somewhere where I can actually go change, because also there's not a lot of space to actually change in the RV. Like, if you're bending over, you're bumping into doors or cabinets or a bed. And so I think it is a brilliant idea. And then when we get back into our house, we can turn it back into, like, lawn equipment shed, or he can use it as an office space as he picks up more contracts, stuff like that. But it is so, I've tried to pitch him on a couple of other things outdoors, and he shut them down immediately for good logical reasons. And so I really want this. I really want this. And I need help figuring out a way to convince him that it's a good idea.
What's his reluctance?
Yeah. Well, so a listener had emailed me and said, hey, you know what we did? We put our washer and dryer outside the house under, like, a tent or an overhang. We have an overhang. And I was like, ah, genius, because we can't run our washer and dryer in the house right now because of, I don't know, carbon monoxide, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to a laundromat, and I suggested that to him, and he's like, that's a great idea, except we're getting into winter, the pipes are going to freeze, and also, like, we live right by some woods, so mice are going to get up in there. It's not a good idea on our new washer and dryer. And I was like, okay, Dad, it makes sense. So he is very good at finding the real truth and the real reasons why things won't work, whereas I prefer to ignore those and pretend they don't exist and deal with that later if it happens. And so I know he's going to shoot this down somehow with some logic, like, hey, we live near a creek. The clothes are going to get wet and moldy because it's not a controlled environment. Whatever, I'll get a dehumidifier. I can come up with arguments, but I would like to present the case in a nice little, like, tied up bow so that he doesn't have a way to be like, no.
All right, so that's what she's at. She's asking us to troubleshoot her request. That way, when she goes back to Chad, she's got a retort for everything. She's got an answer for everything.
I wouldn't even begin to try to come up with something better than that, what you can, considering our intelligence and educational background.
Yeah, you're going to have the smartest response out of all of us.
I didn't go to school for like engineering or anything like that. I mean, from what I can see is he'll be worried about humidity. We'll get a dehumidifier and an air conditioner. We have a portable air conditioner unit.
Get some mothballs.
Ooh, good idea. See, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, make it like, or you can like do some of the inside with in cedar. To help with like the to help with some of the insects. Cedar wood.
Cedar wood.
What y'all talking about?
How about instead of trying to sell him on the she shed, how about you say, if you let me put on my clothes here, I'll let you do insert X, Y, and Z. Maybe he wants a new TV. The thing that Kristen's doing with her hands right now, maybe that's what he wants.
Oh, wait.
That doesn't count.
Yeah. You got to work with what you got.
Maybe offer up the back door. I don't know.
That's what I was doing.
All right. No.
To a shed?
Yeah. Maybe he likes the back part of the shed.
All right, so here's glossing over that. The other thing I could technically do this, but I would never normally do this, and it would cause tension, but I could do it, is I could just order the shed and have it delivered and set up.
Don't do that.
But then I could be like, babe, I knew you wanted to get rid of the old one. Here's a new one for the equipment. And then I'll be like, one day I'll just have clothes all over the RV bedroom. And I'll be like, there's just no space. What if I put them in the shed until we get back in the house?
Okay, so I was assuming you were going to try to convert the existing shed into something. You want to bring an entirely different shed in, which to me plays better to you than it does to try to renovate the old shed.
Well, the old shed is really, like, it's got holes in the roof, squirrels get up in there, and it's like almost a log cabin shed, so there are lots of holes in it, so it really wouldn't be suitable anyway. Every time we open up with the lawn equipment, there are spiders and wasps inside, so I want to get one of these, like, new tough-built sheds that basically have room for insulation and are all locked down and stuff.
And she said they were replacing it anyway.
Mm-hmm. I literally just did a search on this thing, and the first thing that came up from Wayfair is a waterproof outdoor storage shed for clothing.
Boom!
Yeah,
send me the link, please.
Yeah, this is done. There's a whole bunch of them.
All right, Merry Christmas to me.
That are specifically done for this.
So it's such a good idea that they've already created products for it, which means it's been tried and true, tested and proven, and so there's no reason not to.
There's a whole bunch of them. Waterproof outdoor storage shed for clothing.
All right, I think between Aaron, Kaylee's wife, and Bert, I've got this on lock.
We're done!
Yay!
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to Chad.
Hey, The Bert Show.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.